Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
I'm Betsy Reed, executive editor of The Nation, and I'm here with Spencer Woodman, who's written a piece in our current issue entitled Labor Takes Aim at Walmart Again. This piece is about a new campaign embodying a new approach to representing the rights of workers. Basically, because all of the previous attempts to unionize the company have been crashing failures thanks to the massive effort and resources devoted by the company to stopping it. So what's different about this new approach?
So previous to this current campaign, unions would try to do the traditional method of union organization, which is going into a store, organizing workers, and then try to win an election. That forms a union which is NLRB certified, it's the National Labor Relations Board, which then is recognized by the federal government, and employers and employees have to sit down with each other to decide on wages and agree on contract. So this new method of unionization is, it's not a union per se, as unions have existed since the National Labor Relations Act, which was passed in the mid-30s. This is sort of a third way. It's an organization where workers, however many, band together and without so much institutional mediation, do whatever they really can to press their employer to recognize their interests. And the idea is that in numbers, and this is always the idea of labor organizing, organizing into groups is better than fighting for your rights as a single worker.
So part of the process involves educating people about what rights they actually have under the law to protection from different kinds of exploitation.
Right, and that is, in at least this campaign's current phase, that is precisely where you're seeing the most concrete results and the most concrete wins for workers, is where workers are getting, even if they're organized into a tiny group, those people still have access to the resources of a very large union, which is the UFCW. They have access to lawyers, access to people who can tell them how to best go about challenging an unfair labor practice or asking for better treatment on the job.
So this comes at a time, an interesting time for Walmart as a company, right? Because it still is profitable, but it hasn't been as successful in recent years, mm-hmm. because its expansion has been limited, and it really depends on squeezing every last drop out of its workforce in order to squeeze its profit margin, right?
Right, that's right. I mean, in the 90s especially, Walmart was expanding at this incredible sort of unprecedented rate, and that was fueled by the fact that it hadn't saturated its sort of sweet spot demographic. It's the sort of white, Protestant, downwardly mobile person in the South. That is its most loyal and most profitable customer.
Those people have been hammered by the recession.
Stagnating wages, high unemployment, and soaring fuel costs, and they do drive a lot. So they have a lot less money to shop at Walmart. The company's stock price has been stagnant for about 10 years, and its same-store sales have been declining for about 3 years. And this is also reflected in a lot of turmoil in management that you've seen. There's been a lot of mixing up in the sort of upper echelons of the management in Bentonville.
So, but Walmart is also attempting to expand into urban markets, right, and as a way of sort of dealing with its current morass. But it's had difficulty because of its reputation as a sort of bad corporate citizen.
Yeah, and it's met a lot of resistance in urban markets and even more traditionally free market leaning municipalities. But it is desperate to expand. It needs to show its investors that it's expanding, and it needs a fresh start somewhere. And it's not finding that in urban areas. And even if it does succeed in breaking into urban areas, there has been some research that shows that it's sort of smaller, more compact store that is meant to go in closer into larger urban areas and into suburbs are not as profitable as its super centers that they usually sort of just carve out of pine forests or old farm fields.
It's made a few concessions to its critics over the years, and one of the things that it's done that we've written about previously is it's presented itself as a means of bringing fresh groceries to underserved urban neighborhoods. So it's taken away taking the edge off of some of those criticisms. However, as far as labor goes, it has made no concessions, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I think the important thing to understand is that Walmart's business model is not completely reliant on a certain environmental policy or a certain agricultural or livestock policy. Its business model is a little bit more reliant on a certain way that a model of labor relations. It's very important that in its current form that Walmart pays its employees very little. And one of the things that the UFCW is trying to do is to impel Walmart to change the core of its business model, which does rely on paying very low wages.
So this new campaign, which is called Our Walmart, mm-hmm. What is its sort of end game? What is it trying to achieve over the long period? How would it define success?
Well, that's a really good question, and different people have different answers, and I think the only people who really know are the people deep inside the campaign. Some people would say that success is, they're already achieving success by organizing workers to speak out, create public spectacle, and generate bad PR, and attack Walmart from a civil society perspective. The UFCW has been engaging in a negative press campaign against Walmart for almost a decade. And Nelson Lichtenstein, for instance, who's one of the foremost experts on Walmart, thinks that this is sort of a new and sophisticated approach to the PR campaign, where you've got access to a lot of Walmart workers to say bad things about Walmart to anybody that will listen. Another definition of success could be sort of changing Walmart's policies, making it pay labor, making it treat its workers better, making it raise wages, which would ultimately lead to a price increase, which would ultimately make it less of a threat to unionized grocery stores that do have to have slightly higher priced.
Right, and that's going to be of interest to the UFCW, which also represents other members in that sector.
Right.
So how does this fit into the strategy that of labor within the larger sort of sector of low wage retail?
Well, I mean, there is the fact that UFCW is the largest grocery union, and so its grocery stores are terrified of Walmart and have a great deal of difficulty competing with Walmart. There is the element of challenging Walmart's business model to make it less of a threat to actual unionized retailers. And in the bigger picture, I think labor, the sort of symbolic significance of this is that it's, the labor movement and unions in particular have been very slow to adapt to changes in the economy. In many ways, they've been sort of a little bit complacent and very resistant to break from tradition. So many people I talked to in the labor movement were so excited, to really see that, one of the country's largest unions is gonna break from tradition and really go for something new. And a lot of people have been wanting this to happen for quite some time with this new model.
Great. Thanks very much, Spencer.
Thank you, Betsy.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.